know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode, another week here at the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Bumutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion and our weekly guest, fresh out of the parking lot, with a range that can shoot out the gym and the GM skills that build any team you like, Mr. Scott Perry. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic, guys. How you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. BJ, you got it. Repping Iowa today. I see the, yes, the Iowa ladies in the March Madness tournament already.
Yes, I am. You know, Scott is more than a guest, man. He's part of the family. He's family. Okay. No more guests.
He's a family member.
Yeah, he's a family member. This is home.
What's up?
And man, the guy is, I mean, he's looking spiffy. You know, he's looking spiffy. This is great. So what you got going today, Mo?
Yeah. Go ahead, Scott. You're going to say something?
No. I just appreciate the welcome, and I feel part of the team now. All I need is a plaque. You know, the Hoop Genius plaque.
Hey, man, I got something for you. Don't worry about that. I'm going to get something in the mail over to you.
So I can have it up on the back, on my wall in the back.
I got you. It's crazy the amount of people that... The amount of people that come up to me and they say it's the chemistry that we have with Scott in the cut as well is crazy. So it's all love from all the listeners. So we appreciate you guys right back. This is the business end of the season, guys. We've got a month until the play-ins begin. So It's time we revisit your top five contenders right now. Scott, we're going to start with you.
Mo's going right in.
We're going to throw you in the deep end right
here. We're going to do it like we normally do, go 5-1.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm just going to list them, and I know we'll debate them later on.
So, yeah.
At number five, I'm still hanging on to my Milwaukee Bucks.
All right.
I'm hanging on to the Bucks at number five, even though they've lost their last two, but they were playing really good basketball coming out of the break.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, the young upstart Oklahoma City Thunder.
They've been playing
pretty well and had a big win the other day against the Miami Heat that showed me a lot. So I've got them at number four. Number three, even though they're kind of been playing a middle-of-the-road basketball right now, the LA Clippers. I just can't get away from the talent level of that team. Then number three.
Number two.
And number two, based on the matchup earlier this week, at the end of last week, I moved down your Boston Celtics to number two, Mo.
Oh, man.
Which now makes number one. And I got to give credit where credit is due. And this is hard. I may be making a mistake here, BJ.
No, you ain't.
But he's been saying it for a long time. Mo has been going with the Denver Nuggets at number one. And I'm with Mo. I've got Denver number one right now.
Factual. Yes. BJ, let me hear your list.
Well, I got to shake it up a little bit. Okay. Here we go. I got to say it because... I just want them to be great. Number five, the New Orleans Pelicans. Don't hold it against me, guys.
Don't hold it against you guys.
I'm not mad.
They've been playing good.
That's right. You shaking it up for sure.
You know, I just keep, every time I see Brandon Ingram and Zion, I can't get over how come they not.
We'll get into it. Let's go with the rest of the list.
Number four, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the LA Clippers. And it hurts me to say this one. It hurts me to say it, but I got to agree. I got to agree with Mo at number one. So number two is your Celtics.
Exactly.
Number one. It hurts me to say that.
It hurts you either way. It hurts you to have the Celtics in number one, and it hurts you for me to be right with Denver.
I'm saying it from the parking lot. I'm way out there in the parking lot. But I got to say it. Mo been saying it all year. So I can't say nothing, Mo. Mo, we with you when you're right.
Come on, man.
You see how far Mo's chest is out right now. BJ.
I've been in the gym. Come on, man. I'm in my bench press. Come on, man. I hear PR this week. You know, the Nuggets, I've been saying it since they won it, that they're going back to back. And you saw it in the game against the Celtics. Like, Everyone's saying, oh, the Celtics lost. They didn't hit threes and da-da-da. The Nuggets didn't hit no threes either. They still found a way to win. No one can stop Nikola Jokic. There's not one person on any of those teams that you guys have listed out that has a player that can stop Nikola Jokic. The Celtics, you saw Porzingis, way too skinny. Horford, not tall enough. The rest of the roster, not tall enough. Who else you got on the list? You got the Clippers. Now, I love Ivica Zubac, but in a 7-game series, come on, man. Jokic is cooking him. Who else you got? The Thunder, Chet Holmgren, he ain't built for that. You got the Bucks. Yeah. Now, the Bucks are interesting, but I know Dame Lillard ain't staying in front of Jamal Murray in a 7-game series. So I'm looking at the list you guys have put together, and the Pelicans, yeah, maybe that's an interesting matchup, right? We should dive into the Pelicans a little bit here. Because on my list, I don't even have a top five. I've got a top three. I have Denver as guaranteed champions. Guaranteed champions.
You sound like Charles Barkley now. You're going to say guaranteed.
Guaranteed. I've been saying it all year long. Exactly. Denver winning the championship. I got Boston at two, right? And then after that, I'm like, okay, maybe Giannis can get them onto the top five because of Giannis's greatness. He could get the Bucks there. The Clippers, they could get to the finals if there is an injury on the Nuggets and they could sneak their way in. OKC is a very interesting one because, you know, I think they're the X factor in the playoffs because they've got shooters that are shooting an insane rate from behind the arc. All these role players that they have, can they do that in the postseason? Can they all perform at that level in the postseason? Because they're going to need all of those guys to be performing at that level. And then Chet Holmgren as well. Are they going to be able to trust him at the five in a series against Nikola Jokic? That remains to be seen. So really, I've got a top two. I got a top two. And that's that. I ain't worried about the other teams.
So Mo, you just going straight to June then. It's just
hell yeah. I just got top one. I'm going to Denver for the
Boston,
parade.
Denver and Boston.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I got. But let's talk about the Pelicans, because BJ, that's interesting that they're in the top five for you. Because they're an interesting matchup now with the Denver Nuggets, because most teams struggle. If you have a big on Jokic, a lot of teams don't have a four-man, you know, that's as strong and can stay with Aaron Gordon. And then Brandon Ingram, he's got the height to contest with Michael Porter Jr. So what do the Pelicans need to do to actually be a genuine top five contender? Because there are times where their half-court offense doesn't look very good. Obviously, there's inconsistencies with their lineups because of the injuries, but what do they need to do aside from what we spoke about earlier in the week, getting them a true point guard to run that one position?
Well, I have the Pelicans in there for one simple reason. It's about style of play. And as much as I love the OKC Thunder as much as anyone else, Shai Gilchrist Alexander, what is there not to love? The way they play, they're a fun group, they're athletic, they're versatile, so forth and so on. However, that brand of basketball is going to have to change once you get to the playoffs. And that, I'm going to take a wait and see approach, because they're going to have to figure out how to play, you know, in the half court, and they're going to play a different brand of basketball. And we've talked about it here many times over about the style of play. Now, on the other hand, the Pelicans, I mean, that front court, starting with Zion and Brandon Ingram, I love those guys. Like, that's just a matchup nightmare for any team in the league, even your Denver Nuggets. And the Denver Nuggets are big. However, the Pelicans are just as big or bigger than them. Okay. And I love the fact that the Pelicans can play Zion at the five, and they have the best. That makes them the toughest, biggest, strongest, most athletic small team in the league, if they put him at the five. So with that combination and versatility, I don't see another team being able to match up with them if they're playing well and playing the right way. Now, the only thing that...
You couldn't put Zion at the five against Denver.
No, I said you can play him at some five. You know, Jokic is not going to play full 48 minutes. I mean, he might. However, Zion
can get 40, but you're saying for 8 to 10 minutes
minutes, and I guess for any other matchups they have,
to 10 minutes. Zion at the five is a he's already an event. I mean, I love Aaron Gordon. I mean, Scott, you drafted Aaron Gordon.
Yes. Oh no, Aaron, I love Aaron.
That's a problem for Aaron Gordon. That's a problem for anybody. Yeah. Zion's a problem for anybody. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great matchup Michael Porter Jr. and Ingram. However, I think Ingram probably has the advantage.
No, now, I would agree I
just
with
think,
that.
Yeah, so I just think it's a tremendous matchup here. Clearly, you get to the backcourt. I love the fact that they can put Herb Jones and those guys, bigger athletes, on Jamal Murray. Not that you're going to stop them, but you're going to put bigger athletes, Trey Murphy and all those guys. So I just think it's a good matchup. Now, clearly, you know, Jokic is not going to be stopped, as we all know, but I think it's a good matchup and anything can happen.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a tough matchup for any team that's going to have to play against them. I just think it's a bad matchup.
So do they have the best shot out of any team to topple the defending champs? Scott?
No, I don't believe so. I'm surprised at my big-time point guard friend here, BJ Armstrong, who always talks about guys getting downhill and getting into the lane.
This is my heart talking. I told y'all. My heart is talking. I like this Pelicans team.
Yeah. Now, I know Zion can get downhill from his position. And so can Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
But it does, there's guard positions.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I agree.
And they have not been as consistent as I'd like to see them be. Now, they're playing well here as of late, but they've been beating teams that are below them in the standings or teams that have had a lot of injuries. Now, again, we know in NBA basketball, anybody can beat you on any given night. So they are at least stepping up and handling their business in that situation. But the only, again, and I know in putting the Thunder in my top five, and we've talked about this before, we know that the physicality may be an issue for them. But I'm going to give them credit and not discount the regular season.
Right.
In term, they have been one of the most consistent teams in the regular season, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is arguably the strongest competition for Nikola Jokic in terms of the MVP voting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that was why.
Let me ask you this:
was OKC ahead of a team like New Orleans?
Let me ask you this: if it wasn't for Karl Anthony Towns' injuries, would Minnesota have made either of your top fives?
Minnesota is in a little bit of the same bucket that OKC is. And I probably would have given them a real strong consideration for that five spot over Milwaukee, just for having that additional, you know, firepower if Karl Anthony Towns was in play. But mm-hmm. they're right on the outside for me of that top five, Minnesota. But like we've said about whether it's OKC, New Orleans, Minnesota, I'm a little bit wait and see because none of those teams have proven it in the playoffs. And so that's kind of where I stand with that whole mix.
So I have a question for you guys, because this is our third time doing this top five contenders list. And previously, you both had the Phoenix Suns in your top fives. However, they're now nowhere to be seen. Why is that? I'm not trying to say I told you so. I'm just asking.
I'm just staying on the court. I'm just telling you what I see now.
Yeah.
Hey, their plan has done the talking. There's nothing else. What can you say? I mean, listen, Kevin Durant, check. Booker, we know, is out right now, but when he's on the court, check. Right now, they're struggling. So, what can you say? I mean, this again, here's another player. Scott drafted Kevin Durant, so he knows that he drafted Kevin Durant.
They've been playing at kind of the same level the whole season long. It's not like they've gone on a mad slide.
Well, while I had the Phoenix Suns in, even though they were a little bit up and down before, again, Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the NBA, and I know he's going to show up when it matters. Devin Booker, fearless competitor. And I think I was just looking into Bradley Beal being able to help him. When you can put three players on the floor who have all been in the position to close out basketball games throughout their career, like these three have, I just thought that they would be a team to be reckoned with come playoff time. Now, again, I worried about the size. And quite frankly, this kid, Yusuf Nurkic,
yep.
He hasn't played bad here as of late.
He's been grabbing every rebound available.
Yeah, and he actually played Nikola Jokic as well as anybody that I've seen playing this year. And they just played about a week ago.
They were teammates together in Denver.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, maybe there's some familiarity there. But he had a big-time game against Jokic when they played about a week ago.
What's crazy, I think, for newer fans might not know, is there was a time where Denver actually used to play Nurkic and Jokic together as a dual big-man lineup. Back when Denver was starting to build out that team. And that was very interesting. Here's the thing. The Suns, right, stylistically, are the best mid-range shooting team in the NBA. They shoot the most shots from the mid-range. They make the most shots from the mid-range. We saw in last night's game against the Celtics are the best three-point shooting team in the NBA. And just purely on the math equation, which I know you hate, BJ, but with the math equation, it's just not enough for them to contend if they're just shooting from the mid-range and other teams are shooting the three ball. Do you think, though, that favors Phoenix when it comes to the postseason?
I think Phoenix will be fine. You know, Kevin Durant is just an amazing player. And he's capable of adjusting. And he truly can score from all areas of the floor, right? He has a little post game, mid-range, three-point shot, full court. So I'm not concerned. It's just their health. And yes. Their health is the main concern here. I mean, Bradley Beal has been in and out for various reasons. Now Devin Booker is out. You know, they've had trades that they're putting in. Suddenly Bol Bol looked like he's turning the corner and he's in the lineup and he's out. So they just haven't had, here's this word, consistency to really gel to say, who are they? Now, are they a dangerous team? Absolutely, because Kevin Durant is capable. Devin Booker is capable. You know, Bradley Beal hasn't done it in the playoffs yet and had a playoff run to the same extent that Kevin Durant and those other guys have. But he's a really good player. So I'm not counting them out. I just think right now they have problems with the consistency of their lineup, who's in, who's out, and how they play.
Right. Well, and I think it's going to be important if Devin Booker can get back, let's say, with 12 to 15 games left in the season at minimum. So if you got 15 games to close out the year where the three of those guys are playing, Durant, Booker, Beal, maybe they can gain some type of cohesion and chemistry that BJ is talking about right there that could be helpful to them when it's time to go into the playoffs.
Yeah. The team I'm most concerned about is Dallas, because every day social media is filled with fans saying that Luka should be the MVP. Yet his team is nowhere near the conversations that we're having about which teams are the real contenders. And if you want to be an MVP, you've got to be on a contending team. But what I want to talk to you guys about is a trend that has been sweeping social media in the past week.
Scott and I are all over this, Mo. We're all over this.
Exactly. I know you guys aren't seeing this. That's why I'm going to break it down for you. And I know BJ's going to be very mad when he hears about this, but there is a new trend amongst young fans on TikTok. And they say, quote, we're done with the 90s. And what they like to do is they like to pull up footage of games from the 90s or from the 80s, and they like to cherry pick out highlights where players aren't playing very well. And they say this era was trash. They say Michael Jordan couldn't go to his left. They say, oh, there was no defense being played in the 90s. And a big thing they talk about is, you know, what we spoke about last week with it being easier to score in the NBA now, thanks to the rule changes, but they're trying to push an agenda that the illegal defense rules meant it was easier to score back then than it is now. Our comment section from one clip that we had, BJ, when we were talking about how many points Michael Jordan would average in the league today, they all said Michael Jordan did it without getting double teamed or triple teamed ever in his career. Michael Jordan couldn't go to his left. So I would just like you guys to set the record straight before I go off on a rant, because I think this is some of the most idiotic social media usage I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of stupid stuff on social media.
Well, I'm going to say this real quick, and then I'm going to get out. I'm gonna let Mo have his rant because you know, there's nothing to. When you, I mean, you just said something. I the commissioner just like a week or two ago came out and said maybe we need to change the rules to incorporate some level of defense today. Okay, there's nothing for me to say right now other than to say this. Social media is undefeated, so I'm going to let Mo be the first person to defeat it. I'm not, because
okay.
There's nothing I can say. Okay. There's nothing I can say about that.
So here's my thing, and I'm going to try to be calm because it gets me mad when I see stupid people saying stupid things.
Okay.
Every single thing in the world, every single thing in the world gets more advanced with time. Yet basketball is the only place where players act like this doesn't exist. They say if you took this player from the current day and put them in the 90s or in the 80s, they would destroy everyone. Or if you took this player from the 80s or 90s and put them here today, they would. Okay, let's just think about this logically. Let's use any other sport in the world as an example. Go and take a Formula One car from 2024 and race it against Formula One cars in the 1980s. Obviously, it's going to win. Go take an Olympic sprinter. So are you saying that Jesse Owens, who we all know is one of the greatest sprinters of all time, he wouldn't even qualify for the Olympics today running the same time he did? But that's not to say that if he was here, he wouldn't be one of the greatest, because the fans have not taken into account the evolution of the game and the fact that every player builds on what the players before them have done. So without Michael Jordan, you would have never seen Kobe Bryant. Without Kobe Bryant, you would have never seen Paul George. Without Paul George, you would have never seen Brandon Miller coming into the league this year. The sport evolves and builds over time. And more to the point, PJ, we've spoken about this a number of times. The advancements in medicine, the advancements in technology, the advancement in data available to teams, the advancements in strategy of how the game is played. Of course, you're going to see more and more scoring over time. You're going to see a different style of play over time. And the part that really makes it hilarious to me is it's LeBron James fans that are sitting here pulling up clips of Michael Jordan saying, oh, he couldn't score with his left hand. If you watch the whole game, you will know that. And that's not true, first of all. Or they'll post a clip of Michael Jordan having the ball stolen from him saying, oh, he got locked up. In 20 years from now, all you LeBron fans who are using this logic to discredit Michael Jordan, they are going to pull up clips of Michael Jordan being guarded by J.J. Barea and Michael Jordan getting crossed over by J.J. Redick. And they're going to say, LeBron James used to get cooked by podcasters. And they're going to use that to discredit him. So for all of this agenda pushing that everyone does on social media, and they try and discredit the greatness of the players that have gone before. And the one that gets me is when they say, oh, Wilt Chamberlain only put up those numbers because he played against plumbers. I even heard J.J. Redick himself say that. But in 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, J.J. Redick, you are the plumber they're going to say LeBron James played against when they pull up the old footage. They're going to say, oh, LeBron played against social media guys and podcasters. So I just find it very ridiculous that fans are using this as logic. And I feel like I'm not mad at the fans. I'm mad at the media, because the media's job is to educate fans on the game, but the media doesn't do that. The media pushes these discussions and pushes these narratives. And you know what I've realized and what I've finally figured out this week? Most basketball fans on social media aren't actually fans of basketball. They are looking at this as if it's characters in some sort of storyline. And they're trying to use arguments to push their favorite character. It's like guys saying, oh, Batman's better than Superman because of XYZ, or Superman's better than Batman because of XYZ. No one's actually watching the game and understanding what they're seeing. And I think the responsibility of that comes onto the media. Scott, you and I spoke about this yesterday. And I said, when Kevin Durant went to Golden State, it was kind of assumed every season that the Warriors would be in the finals and they'd meet up with the Cavs in the finals. So the media had nothing really to talk about all season long. So they started to push LeBron versus Jordan, LeBron versus Kobe, XYZ, just so they'd have something to talk about. And now that's all we're seeing being amplified by young people who don't know any better because there's no one to teach them about how the game has evolved over time. And that's just all I got to say on that, because I've been seeing it. They've been filling up our comments. They've been saying, we're done with the 90s. The 90s was trash basketball. There was no defense. Da, 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 da. And I'm just sick and tired of it, because You know, Scott, well, talk to me. You were there for the night. Talk to me.
Bo, you handled that very well, and you kept your cool and composure. I appreciate that. I'm just going to just give a little bit of a history lesson. I'm not trying to get into a debate with social media, the world of social media, but just a little history lesson. And what I like to do is go back and look at the champions from that decade. Starting 1990, Detroit Pistons were the NBA champions. One of the best defensive basketball teams in the history of the games, the Bad Boys. You know, you had Joe Dumars, who was multiple-time all-defensive team. Dennis Rodman, who goes on to be two-time defensive player of the year. They were physical on the interior. That team would have been able to defend in any era, and they would have adjusted to any kind of rules going forward. Then I go 91, 92, and 93 to my good friend here on this podcast, BJ Armstrong, who knows all too well what a good defensive team looks like, as they were one of the better defensive teams in the league at that time. And they had standout defenders. You're going to start with Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan was a guy who, I think he was first team all defense.
9 times all defense.
Scottie Pippen was 10 times either first or second team all defense. Horace Grant was 4-time all defensive team. Now, even though my good buddy didn't make an all defensive team, but I know I watched him pick people up full court though.
If BJ was like 3 or 4 inches taller, exactly, he would have been on those defensive teams too. So put that one down to genetics.
Exactly. I don't see guys doing that anymore. Nobody's picking up full. Right. And then you go to the Houston Rockets, 94-95, one of the best defensive centers of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? Did anchor that defensive effort there. Then the Bulls pick it back up again, 96, 97, 98. And they add Dennis Rodman to that group. Man. Again, great defensive team. And then we close out the decade in 99 with the San Antonio Spurs. Defensive player of the year and David Robinson, who made, I think he was on the all-defensive team like 9 or 10 years. And Tim Duncan made first or second team all-defense for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about?
And he did that in the modern era as well. This is the funniest part,
yes, he
right?
did. He won in the 90s decades.
And he won in the 2010s. Not just the 2000s, the 2010s.
Absolutely. And I'm not even talking about teams that competed and challenged who were good defensive teams during those 90s. The Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. These were all teams, and they were. You know, and I'm sure I'm leaving a number
Supersonics,
of teams out.
There's so many.
Yeah, Supersonics. Yeah, so you know, they were physical, and everybody understood the way to winning the championship, which I still believe is a huge way in today's game. It's just you got to be able to defend and defend with purpose, defend consistently, have a physical presence, because defense is what ultimately helps you win championships.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, we've got 5 minutes left of the show. So real quick, let's wrap it up with which team you're watching this week. Who are you going to be tuning into and watching? Maybe you want to see a team play some defense, Scott. Who you got your eye on, BJ? Who are you looking at this week?
Well, hey, look, ironically, I'm going to roll to the top. My team is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, man, you took my team. Okay, you took my team.
BJ, this is what happens when you're late and you miss the pre-production meeting.
Exactly. And they're the top-ranked defensive team in the league right now. We've talked about Karl Anthony Towns being out. They're 1-1 since his injury on the road with a big-time win at Indiana. And they lose in overtime at Cleveland, a game that they really had a chance to win. And Naz Reid had a career night that night.
I was going to say, what a luxury it is to have Naz Reid come in and step it into Karl Anthony Towns' shoes.
Absolutely. They're at the Lakers, at the Clippers, and at the Jazz. So if they want to stay up at the top of this Western Conference, these next three games are going to be huge for them. I'm looking to see Anthony Edwards continue to elevate his game and try to put himself firmly as one of the faces of the game, of this league, and then Naz Reid continue his play and everybody else around just up their play. So Minnesota,
I'm glad you mentioned that because we haven't even had a chance to talk about it. The block that he pulled off against the Indiana Pacers the other day.
Oh, yes.
I don't have the words. BJ, what was your reaction when you saw that block by Anthony Edwards?
All I kept thinking is, if I would have jumped that high, what would have happened on the way down?
Exactly.
Like, the fact that he was able to, I don't know what that was. It was just like, it was
his head hit the rim.
I know.
Blocked it off the top of the square.
It was just incredible.
The fall and getting up is just as impressive as the block.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, how did he do
he landed
that?
On his wrist as well.
You know what, Mo? When I saw that happen in Indiana, and look, Edwards' block was phenomenal, way more athletic. But I'm saying Indiana must be the place for great blocks because I remember a block back in 2004. One Tayshaun Prince runs down Reggie Miller, and that block is what catapulted us to the win over the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals and gave us a shot at winning the title in 04, which we did against the Lakers. So fond memories for me watching that block, and I think it was at the same end.
Well, my favorite block, because I didn't see that one live, but my favorite one I've seen live is when Roy Hibbert blocked Carmelo Anthony in Indiana. In that arena. That was a huge block as well. BJ, which team are you now going to focus in on this week?
Well, I can't focus
on
Minnesota.
Seeing as your team got taken.
Yeah, my team got taken. So I'm going to focus in on one particular event in the NBA. Okay, I'm just going to go outside the box. I'm focusing in on the Western Conference and the play-in. If the play-in started today.
Oh,
okay.
You have Phoenix, Dallas, the Lakers, and Golden State. Now, that's pretty good. Like,
that could be a playoff scene in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, those would be the four teams that would be just for the play-in.
Pick two.
Ooh,
which two come out?
Because the first round matchup right now would be
Phoenix versus Dallas, and one of them gets the seven seed, and then the loser would face the winner of Lakers-Warriors. If it started today, which two teams go through?
So that means Steph or LeBron is going home after the first
That's
round.
That's what I'm saying. That's
exactly.
I'll tell you what, Steph or LeBron or KD, because Luka's winning that matchup against Phoenix. He just finds a way against Phoenix every single time. So I can pencil them in for the seven seed. So you tell me, Suns, Lakers, Warriors, who you got?
You talk your stuff, Mo. I don't know. That would be pretty good. I was just looking at that as Scott was talking. I was like, that would be pretty good. Like, I would have to. That'd be pretty good.
Who you got?
You're probably right about Dallas.
Because Luka owns Phoenix, so
you're probably right about that.
But he'd have to go on the road though and do it in Phoenix.
He's done it on the road in Phoenix. Remember they had a whole playoff series of him kidding them on the road. Phoenix has put out a statement after the series apologizing to their fans for what Mr. Doncic did to them.
Something about Phoenix. I'm not gonna mess with Luka and Phoenix. Mo might be right there. Mo been right all day, so I'm gonna leave Mo alone. I'm gonna pick Dallas, and then I'm gonna pick Phoenix.
Okay. What about you, Scott?
So you think Phoenix will come? Okay, so you got
Phoenix
will
get the eight
seed.
They're losing and winning against the Warriors or the Lakers.
Woo, boy. I'm going to go Dallas and the Los Angeles Lakers.
This guy's too good for TV, Mo. He's trolling us now, Mo. He's trolling us.
I'm mad at him. The way D'Angelo Russell's playing.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you this.
Exactly.
I hear you, Scott. I do hear you. I hear you.
Okay.
I've been telling you the scriptwriters ain't letting another playoffs run without LeBron James in the mix. So I see.
Right.
I see. Yeah. But Scott is good for TV. And by the time you guys listen to this podcast, you would have missed out on, if you didn't tune in, our alternative commentary to the Bucks versus the Clippers that happened on Sunday. So make sure you lock in with us, follow us on social media so you can stay updated with these things, as that's where we're about to head off to now as we finish recording this podcast. Fellas, I will see you over there. You guys at home, I hope you tuned into the watch along. If you did, let me know what you thought. If you didn't, stop sleeping. These are gems you're getting right here. This is, as BJ said, too good for TV. Make sure you follow the show, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And if you want to know what team I'm going to be watching this week, it's all of them as I continue to ruin my sleep pattern. But happy Ramadan to everyone who celebrates this. We'll be up all night enjoying food and water because we ain't enjoying that during the daytime. So you guys are going to be on NBA hours now. I'll be right there with you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you, fellas. I'll catch up with you very soon. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.